Greetings this morning in our Savior's precious name. Kind of a blessing to be here. God is good. I was blessed by that song this morning. I stand amazed in the presence. And friends, this morning, if Jesus is real in your heart, that's what we'll do. We will stand amazed. I just over and over, as life goes on, I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus. Kind of a blessing to be in your midst for several reasons. So I was reflecting on sharing this morning, and as I was sitting here, there is so much that runs through my mind. This building, this very building, holds a lot of memories for this man, and I think for others as well. I have memories of sitting here at 12 years old up here in the Amen Corner. I have memories of getting on my knees right here beside me and being baptized. I stand here this morning and looking at several of my classmates that I went to school with. It's just a blessing to be together, to worship the Lord most of all, but also to be together with family. This past day or so, we've been together with family and been blessed there, and also to reunite some friendships that were made some years ago. Brother Chester Weaver had the preordination services when I was ordained. And when I heard that Brother Chester's here, I said, I'd like to go. I don't think I've seen Brother Chester since then. So it's been good to shake his hand. This morning I'd like to turn to Hebrews chapter 12 for a few verses here. In chapter 11, we have the faith, what we call the faith chapter. In chapter 12, the writer starts in the first two verses there. He says, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradictions of sinners against himself, lest he be wearied and faint in your minds. We're going to stop reading there. As I was meditating and sharing, this is what came to my heart and my mind as I thought of sharing a few thoughts this morning, is about the race of life. As I reflect back to the day that I was ordained, Brother Chester doesn't, you know, it's like it works like this. We share things with people, and somehow it clicks in their minds, and we forget what we said. And I find that interesting, but as I was studying here, something went through my mind that Brother Chester shared with me. The day that I was ordained, he shook my hand, and one of the things that I remember is he said, the work of the ministry is a learning experience. And you were right, Brother Chester. After a number of years, I recognize that Brother Chester knew what he was talking about. It's a learning experience. I'm still learning. But you know, it's not just for us as a ministry. I believe the race of life, the Christian life, is a learning experience. The journey of life is a learning experience for all of us. I think the major question is, are we learning? Are we learning what God wants us to learn? Are we taking from the lessons of life as we run the race? Are we really seeing what God wants us to see? The writer here, he says, wherefore seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. That's the way he begins. And I believe he was reflecting back to the patriarchs of faith, those that had went on before, that had fought the battle, that had won that race faithfully and received the crown. But I believe for a majority of us here today, as we reflect on our past, We just buried an aunt recently. It was a tremendous blessing in my life. Just one of those witnesses that the race can be won, the battle can be won. But we must follow through. We too are compassed about with a lot of witnesses, a lot of things that should encourage us as we look at them. Brothers and sisters, are we taking to heart as we run that race? For many of us today that are on this side of the grave, the race is still real. You know, for those that have gone on before, those that have received that crown, those that have went on to their reward, you know, that race is over. They have reached their destination, you might say. For us who are sitting here this morning, we are still in the race. The race is real. I believe you know what I'm talking about. But he doesn't stop there. It blesses me in this passage. He reflects to those that have went on before, but he doesn't stop there. And he said, let us. He gives us some direction, gives us something to consider. He doesn't just leave us hang there and says, you look at those that went on before, but he gives us a direction where to go with the race that we're in. Notice the words further. He said, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. He gives us direction there. He gives us what to do if we want to win that race. And I fear this morning, and I guess I share my own heart, we look at this passage and we say, let us lay aside every weight and the sin. We're pretty clear on the sin issue. We realize that as we run the race, we can't have sin in our lives. But you know, we have things in life that they're not necessarily right and wrong in themselves, but they can become wrong if we allow them to. And I think those are some of the weights that he's talking about here. And I'm just going to mention a few for our consideration this morning. I almost brought my cell phone along, but I didn't. Maybe some of you here with cell phones, and that's fine. And I don't know if Brother Chester remembers or not, but it was a good lesson for me. I think it was the first minister meeting I was to. Somehow my phone rang in the middle of that minister meeting. You talk about making an impression. That hasn't happened again. Does your cell phone have you, or do you have your cell phone? Which of it is it? Just consider that. I believe that cell phone can be used to the honor and glory of God. But friends, I believe we're living in a day when we better be careful of that cell phone is going to get a hold of your life. It's going to control your life. We better be in control of it. I'm just sharing that. I'm sharing my heart. The vehicle you drive, is it driving you, or are you driving that vehicle? The clothes you wear, do they have you, or do you wear clothes? I'm just throwing some. The list could go on. The time would not allow for the list that could be given probably. Does your business, do you have your business, or does your business have you? And I say that, and I stand here before you. I have a cell phone. I have clothes. I have a car. I have a business. So I'm talking to myself as well as anyone here. Where in the race are we keeping those weights laid down? Sunday morning when we come to worship, do we bring those weights with us, or do we leave them where they belong? Just a challenge to all of us. Let us run. Consider some of the meanings of these words. He continues on and he says here, and let us run with patience a race that is set before us. Let us run. That word run means to walk hastily or to have a course. In other words, we have something in mind. We're going somewhere. There's a goal ahead. We're trying to accomplish something. The race simply means to imply force. Putting an effort. Not just haphazardly, but putting in effort. We're running and we have a course. That's what that word run means. It's to stay on course. Then it says with patience. That word patience means to abide, means endurance, to stay under. So you and I, as we are running this race, we are called to stay under. We are called to stay to endure, to abide, to stay there. That's what he's saying. The word race, as I mentioned, implies to force. I might have got that mixed up a little. Implies to force. Contest for victory and mastery. That's what that word means. Contest for victory or mastery. Implying force. Yesterday, we had some nephews that came around and they said, hey, we like to play the uncles in a ball game. Nephews, play the uncles. When they said that, I thought, oh, really? 45 years old, really? Do we want to do that? Pretty soon there was a couple that said, yeah, we can do it. Let's do it. And pretty soon, the race was on. The race was on. I'd like to just share a few things that I observed in that race that challenged me. I didn't notice anybody yesterday in that ball game that went and filled their pockets up with rocks and added any weight that they needed extra. They didn't do that. Rather, I saw men around there, and I didn't do it myself. My bare feet would not let me do that probably. But I seen some men around there in bare feet and the pant legs rolled up a little bit. They were preparing to run. They were in the race. That's what they were in. I like to spiritualize that. Just think of that. The race. They were in a race. I saw a lot of force. I saw a lot of force being put in. Force that usually isn't used. There's something else that I've seen there. There was a lot of encouraging and cheering, especially to the uncles. They needed it. You know, these bones, they're not used to running. They're not used to swinging a bat. I made the remark to somebody that I said, you know, I'm just not sure if these bones are quite in shape to take all of that cheering. You know, I was amazed yesterday as some of those were running and there was cheering and you can do it, go ahead, do it. And you can see just everything that was put into that to get the home plate. They just put everything they had into it. There was two groups of men that had their eyes fixed on the goal. They were in a race and they were there to see who could win. Now this morning I'd like to challenge you, where do you find yourself? As you think of the spiritual race that you're in, where do you find yourself? And here is what tremendously challenged me as I looked at that game and just considered some things. Verse 2. Here is one of the keys to winning the race, brother and sisters. Looking unto Jesus, the author, the beginning. Jesus at the beginning. When you felt the call on your life and you committed your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, that was the beginning. But he doesn't stop there. He continues on and he says, the author, which is the beginning, and the finisher, which is, you might say, the finish line, after the battle's won, of your faith. To me, that's a tremendous comfort. You know, that was a natural race we were in yesterday. But brethren, we are in a spiritual race, and it has eternal effects. You know, it really doesn't matter who won that battle yesterday. We're in a spiritual race. One of the great challenges that challenged me as I reflected yesterday was all the cheering, all the encouraging. You know, I didn't see I didn't hear one time somebody saying, oh, I don't think you can do it. You ain't going to make it. Rather, I heard words, if you can do it, give it all you got. And I'd ask myself the question, if I would put that kind of effort in to my brothers and sisters, those that are running the race, those that are battling, those that are going through that learning experience, if I would put that kind of effort in to my brethren and sisters, like was put in yesterday, what could be accomplished? I believe we would see a lot of people in closing, like to turn to 2 Timothy. I read a passage there. To me, this is always a challenge as I think of these words of Paul. 2 Timothy 4, verse 7 through 8 there. 2 Timothy 4, verse 7 through 8 says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all them that love his appearing. Friends, I believe if we would put that kind of effort in our spiritual lives and in church life, it would be amazing how many would cross that finish line faithful to the end. May that be a challenge to all of us as we run the race, as we look to him. Lord bless.
Also, I'd like to greet each one here this morning. the name of Jesus, Paul says, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. From the one that we heard about already this morning, the one that we sang about, of Jesus Christ. The one that said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And ye shall have rest unto your souls. Brethren and sisters, this morning, are we looking to Jesus, as a brother mentioned to us? Are we looking forward to his soon appearing in the clouds? We're also thankful to be here this morning. As a brother mentioned, I'd say this building brings back some memories. As a young boy growing up, as a youth, you know, I guess one of the vividest memories that stand out to me was one evening. I was also up here at the Amen Corner. There were some books out front here. As Brother mentioned, it's a learning experience, but it's a blessing. You know, and as we considered sharing this morning, you know, where do we turn to? I took a little time this morning just to sit down and read and study and meditate. You know, what do we share? The Word of God is so great, so vast. And the brother just touched my heart as he shared those last verses, that last phrase. But unto all them also that love is appearing. Brethren and sisters, this morning, as we think of Jesus Christ, and I'd just like to share a little on Jesus Christ this morning. As we think of him, the Son of God, our Savior, the one that came down on this sin-laden earth, he gave his life for you and I. You know, he didn't leave us when he left this world. He didn't leave us without hope. You know, there's some verses in Acts that so bless me. I often have to think of them as I'm out and working about my responsibilities. You know, he was talking to his disciples. He was sharing with them. And I believe those disciples did cherish that time when Jesus was sharing with them. But you know, all of a sudden, Jesus started going up. Up, up he went. And there the disciples were gazing up as they seen Jesus going up into the clouds. You know, there were some men that appeared to him, those disciples. And they said, why stand ye gazing here toward heaven? He says, that same Jesus that you've seen disappearing into the clouds will return. Revelation says this, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. And they also which pierced him, and all kindred of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Dear brothers and sisters, as we are about our responsibility, especially those that are working on the outside, us as farmers, do we notice the clouds? I do, many a day. Just the other day, some dark clouds off to the side, and here was a white cloud. Beautiful white cloud. And I don't know how those clouds will be when Jesus will return. When those clouds will open up, and he will be there. But I just imagine, how will it be? Those white clouds in the sky. Brethren and sisters, each one of us here this morning, we'll see him and we will recognize him when he comes. You know, and I believe I was at home that I shared with the congregation here recently. There will be one or two things that we will say when we see those clouds roll back. It will be either, even come, so Lord Jesus, or we will cry out to the rocks and the mountains to follow on us. It will be one of the two. My mind went to Jesus' words where he says, in John chapter 14, where he says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Do we cherish that promise this morning? That is Jesus' own words, I believe, to you and I this morning. He has prepared a place where he is, that you and I can be there with him in glory. Are we looking forward to that time? Brothers and sisters, life is real. Life is short. Only what's done for Christ will last throughout eternity. You know, as we think of Jesus again returning, we don't know when it will be. You know, here recently, I had the opportunity of being in Holmes County, Ohio, and I went through the Behout there, observed those pictures on the wall, and there was a man, I don't know what year it was, he was a preacher, I'm his preacher, if I remember right on that, and he prophesied that Jesus is coming this year. I don't remember what year it was, but he spoke about that. But you know, that year went by. Jesus hadn't returned. You know, and so often I find that we are, as Peter speaks about in the third chapter, I believe it is in 2 Peter, where he speaks about those scoffers will come in the last times. You know, and I guess that's a burden on my heart this morning as we think of the last times. We don't know when it will be. But he says in 2 Peter chapter 3, he says this, "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance." And that's our desire this morning, just simply to stir up our pure minds by the way of remembrance. And we're not speaking this morning, we're not sharing anything new. And we're not speaking to men and brethren that are, brethren and sisters that are ignorant of the Word of God. We have been taught the Word of God from a youth. I do believe most of us here this morning said that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing that first that there shall be in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts. You know, I believe Brother Leon reminded us of that this morning. Those things that drive us, the lusts of man, whatever it might be that is driving our life, going after their own way and saying, "Where is the promise of his coming?" You know, so often we become weary along the way. I found myself there, I have to confess. You know, where is his coming? You know, I don't know what about you, but so often I find myself just thinking, you know, oh, how would it be? How nice it would it be if Jesus would just return? You know, we're so burdened down with the cares of life. How nice it would it be if Jesus just would return and we wouldn't have to worry about those things no more. Are we looking forward to that time? Dear brothers and sisters, that time is coming. That time is coming. And if we go down in verse 9 here, he says this. He says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, dear brothers and sisters. Jesus will return. He will. When he came the first time, the scriptures tell us when the time was right, Jesus came as a babe in the manger. It was prophesied and he came. He will come again. He will. It says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up." Brethren and sisters, these things that we hoard together and so hang to and cling to, they will burn. They will perish. And I believe it was it in Micah? I looked up a verse. I'm not sure where that was. But it speaks about that time, that fervent heat. The mountains and things will melt. And they will run as a stream down the mountain. everything. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Are we preparing for that time? Are we ready for that time? Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Dear brothers and sisters, these things will pass away. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Are we looking for that? Brethren and sisters, as it speaks about in Revelations, if I can turn to that, speaks about the time when we will experience heaven, where he says in Revelations 21, verse 4, he says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. How will it be? I don't know, brethren. But my desire is simply to be ready. It says, wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. Brethren and sisters, this morning, are we experiencing peace? You know, and we could share a lot more. You know, as a brother was sharing, my mind went to, if I can turn to you now again, in 2 Timothy, I believe it was, where he says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Dear brothers and sisters, Jesus has chosen each one of us to be a soldier for him. Are we working? Are we laying aside those sins that so easily beset us? And running, looking forward to that time when we can be with him in eternity. You know, brethren and sisters, we're living in a time, much evil about us. There's much corruption. But Jesus promised, I will be with you until the end of the world. Jesus will be there. Brethren and sisters, it's possible to live a holy life without spot, in peace, and blameless before God. But you know, not of ourselves. You know, and my thoughts went many different ways as we thought about Jesus this morning. And we heard that already this morning as he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And as he prayed, not my will but thine be done. Now can we be that example for him? Can we take that example? Might we do that? Brothers and sisters, I hope we're here this morning as those that are looking forward to when the clouds will roll back and Jesus will be there. And you know, the way I understand Brother Chester has shared quite a bit on history. And it would have been interesting to be here to listen to that. You know, recently here, I read a quote about history, and it's very true, I believe. The thing that we learn from history is that we don't learn. How sad. How sad. Might we learn from the Word of God? Look into the Word of God. Shall we kneel and pray?